Welcome. Welcome to Shelter Rock Church. I'm Jack Crabtree. I'm one of the teaching pastors here at the church. We're glad that you've joined us. What's this week been like for you? Well, we're learning a lot of new things, aren't we? In fact, we're learning how to be together online, learning how to worship God together. This week has been a little bit overwhelming, wouldn't you say? I mean, we've gotten such a steady stream of negative news and things that cause us to have great fear in our heart. It's been a little draining for some of us. How are you feeling? Well, this morning we're going to ask you to come not to hear any negative news. In fact, today what you're going to hear is good news. You see, God's people never have to be afraid of bad news because our hearts are steadfast. We trust in the Lord. So this morning, you're going to hear from God's word. We're going to raise our voices and praise God together. And we invite you to be part of all this. Now, you've been watching a lot of things this week, I know. But today, I'd like you to not watch, but participate. Come and be a part of all this. Maybe where you are right now, whatever you're with, whatever you have around, just kind of push it off to the side. Put down your tablet and put down your newspaper and all these other things. And just say, I'm going to focus on what God wants to say to me. And if you're with your family, well, be the first one to stand up. Kind of look at the rest of your family and say, come on, let's go to church. Let's stand up. Because we're going to sing. We're going to praise God. We're going to hear his word today. So let's enter into worship. Welcome to Shelter Rock Church. Let's give God glory today.
Thank you. Hallelujah. We worship you this morning, Jesus. We give you all the praise, oh God. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Come on, let's sing that again. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Hallelujah. Come on, let's sing this. Darkness seems to hide His face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within.
Señor, we worship you this morning, God, for there is truly no one like you, O God. We declare you to be the chief and cornerstone of our lives this morning, God. Despite what we see, despite what we hear, God, we worship you, God. We honor you today, God. We look to you and only you, O God, for you are our cornerstone. We declare it today. Hallelujah. Come on, let's sing that one more time. Christ alone.
seem like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before, let me be seen when the evening comes.
Oh, bless the Lord.
Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, I worship you. Holy name,
we're singing like never,
we'll sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. Rich in love, in your soul to aim. Your name is great, in your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing.
We're gonna sing 10,000.
Oh, 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord. Worship his holy name.
We're singing like
never before.
Set this sinner free, oh, has a name.
This morning, thank you for this time of worship, of being in your presence, God, and adoration to you. We thank you, God, for being with us. Thank you for your holy presence, God, as you inhabit our praise. Now, Lord, as we transition, we ask that you would open our ears and open our hearts, God, as we hear your truth, as we hear your word, God. We pray for your hand upon Pastor Henry, God. Give us open ears to receive. We ask this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, Amen.
Hey there. Is today your first time here? Or maybe your first time in a while? If so, maybe you're wondering exactly who we are and what this church is all about. Well, we'd like you to know that we're a group of ordinary people who are on an amazing journey together, following Christ. Our guide is the Bible, because it's the divinely inspired Word of God, and it will never take us in the wrong direction. Along the way, we hope you'll see that we are welcoming and spiritually passionate, and that getting to know you is a big deal to us. We know that the road is rough sometimes, but we'll work really hard to bring you practical and relevant messages to equip and encourage you through life's ups and downs. We want you to know that we care about this community, and we believe that it's our job to make it a better place. So, no matter who you are or where you've been, we're glad you're here with us today. And we hope that you'll join us on our journey, following Christ and living out His plan for us. So, welcome to church.
Hello, Shelter Rock Church. My name is Steve Tomlinson, one of the pastors, and we're so glad you're tuned in and watching online. Church has not stopped. It's just moved online, and there are so many places and opportunities that you can plug in. We'll talk about that in just a moment. First of all, you may have heard, because our governor had a big news conference yesterday, about everything shutting down except for essential businesses. And you're wondering, where does church fit into that? Can we use our building to broadcast something like this? And the answer is absolutely yes. They made houses of worship an exception, as long as it's just small groups that have good social distancing. And so this morning, as we were having our prayer huddle before this service began, you should have seen how big our prayer circle was. In fact, I think Pastor Henry was in the next county. But we were able to pray, and we were able to bathe this sermon in prayer so that we could spend this time with you and have our body edified, built up, because we need each other, do we not? Hey, I want to also point out that if you have any difficulty in watching this service, we have three platforms you can use. You can use the church website, which has had some struggles this morning because of the amount of viewership, but you can also use Facebook, and I highly recommend you go to an app store and download the Shelter Rock Church app, because that app gives you the opportunity to take Shelter Rock Church with you anywhere, and it's been our most stable platform, and all of these are available for you. Hey, when I say that church has moved online, I mean that in a very tangible way. Let me give you an example. you could go on a Monday night and watch a live activity. We have our midweek Bible class at 7:30 at night. I have the privilege of teaching that. On Tuesday, you could go to our prayer groups, and you can plug in and pray with the others in the group. And on Wednesday, we have a sermon discussion group. Whatever Pastor Henry shares today, we can talk about on Wednesday night. Friday, we have a brand new lunchtime group called Ask the Pastors, where Pastor Nathan and I will answer any of your Bible questions that we have the ability to answer. And on Saturday, our men's group meets Ironman. I heard from Pastor Jim, we had 60 guys show up yesterday on that group, and they're able to break into personal chat rooms, so it's not like you have to share in front of a big group. Just so many opportunities for us to move online with what God is doing here in our church. I also want to point another way you can move online, and that is through giving. You may realize that because we're not taking offerings on Sunday, churches around the nation have had a significant dip in their giving. We had about 65% of our offering come in last week, which was a significant downturn, but actually bucking the trend of many other churches. But right now, in this service, you have an opportunity to give online to Shelter Rock Church as your normal way of worshiping on part of a Sunday morning. I personally give on the Shelter Rock Church app, which you can see here right in this picture. And right on the bottom of the app, there's a little button with a heart on it. It says give. That's what I use. I click on that and I give. Now, this morning, I was extra inspired to give because our church finance director gave me an email that said somebody gave a tremendously give a generous gift in our first service. We want to say thank you, but I also want to be inspired myself to participate in what God is doing through this church. Now, as you watch, there is an opportunity to participate in the chat room on Facebook or the interactive side of our webpage. We have pastors monitoring these sites. So if you have a question, if you have something that you want to bring up, we would be delighted to engage with you. The truth is, these are challenging times, and we do not know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. And we have this great confidence. Our Lord is with us. Today, we're going to be continuing the I Am series. We are looking at the I Am statements of Jesus found in the Gospel of John. Today, we consider the statement where Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. I look forward to hearing what Pastor Henry is going to share. Let's prepare our hearts.
My shepherd, I shall not want.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters.
He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yea, though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
For you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy.
You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen, amen. Well, hello, Shelter Rock Church friends and family. I want to welcome you to church online today. My name is Henry Furman, and I'm one of the teaching pastors on staff. I'm glad that you're joining us today. And I want to give a special shout out to all the kids who took me up on my challenge this week to memorize Psalm 23. We believe it's important to hide God's word in our heart. And the words you memorized this past week, our children and our students, they're going to serve you in life in years to come. And so I want to acknowledge really quickly those children that we saw in that video, those kids, and say thank you to Gracie, to Henry, to Cameron, to Dalio, to Leo, to Lucas, to Ashton, to Noah, to David, to Alina, to Vivian, to Lila, And to Alina. I'm not sure if I said Alina yet, but if not, you got two shout-outs, all right? We're really grateful that you submitted those videos and took us up on that challenge. I wanted our church to be thinking this week about Jesus as a shepherd, which is why I asked you to memorize Psalm 23, right? This idea of Jesus as our shepherd. I actually think that image, that metaphor, is so helpful for us in where we find ourselves today in our time and place. As Pastor Steve mentioned, we are in unusual circumstances, but the truth is we're not the first followers of Jesus to be banned from public gatherings today. In fact, in many parts of the world today, Christians are not allowed to meet publicly for fear of persecution or punishment. In fact, when I think about where we are today, this unusual season, and Jesus as our shepherd, I actually think back to the early church. You know, the very first few hundred years of following Jesus, the early Christians, the first followers, they weren't allowed to gather publicly in public spaces. See, Rome ruled the land, and any Christian would fear persecution or punishment or even be sentenced to death. Practicing Christianity in public was banned. It was totally illegal. And so what the church did is they met underground. They actually met underground in these underground burial chambers called catacombs. I've got a picture here of catacombs. These are real catacombs in Rome. And these were places where people would bury the dead. They were tombs. They were crypts. But during a time of turmoil when the church couldn't meet in public, they gathered for worship in these places. In fact, archaeologists tell us that the vast number of Christian art, in fact, almost all of the Christian art we have up until the 4th century exists in these catacombs. It was in those worship spaces where Christians would gather and sing and worship and open up God's word. They would also paint on the walls and on the ceilings. If you walk into a catacomb today, you'll see artwork all over the walls. Most of these stories are stories of deliverance. Deliverance stories from the Bible, and that makes sense because here were a people in Rome who needed deliverance. And they clung to these stories of Noah's Ark or Jonah in the fish or Daniel in the lion's den. All throughout the catacombs, you can see these images painted on the walls. But you know, the single most recurring figure in any of these catacombs for the first 4 centuries is the person of Jesus Christ. He appears in more paintings than any other biblical figure. Now, what's interesting to me is that in the catacombs, there aren't pictures of Jesus on the cross, or even Jesus standing victorious over an empty tomb. We don't really see that until later in Christianity. Rather, the single most reoccurring image is of Jesus as a shepherd. Think about that. In the early church, the single most recurring painting of Jesus depicts him as a shepherd. Like this one that you see here. It's a picture of Jesus as the good shepherd. This was from the 4th century at the St. Castillo catacomb in Rome. And it's got an image, you can't see it very well, but it's Jesus holding a shepherd on his back. And it's really probably designed to depict the story of Luke chapter 15, where the good shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after the one who had gone astray. Or how about this image in St. Priscilla Cathedral, also in Rome? This one's a little bit more clear. Here, the good shepherd, dated around the 4th century as well, has a sheep on his back with other sheep beside him. This is an image that the church was holding on to. Jesus, our good shepherd, with sheep surrounding him. Or how about this one? This is one of the oldest paintings we have of Jesus in the world. It dates back to the 2nd century and can be found in the Domitilla catacomb in Rome as well. And it also depicts Jesus with a sheep around his neck. Isn't it interesting that when the early church was being persecuted, when they were going through suffering, when they were going through turmoil, when they were filled with uncertainty and anxiety and fear, when their lives were at risk, isn't it interesting that the most recurring image that they held on to was Jesus as our shepherd? See, I think the early church knew something that you and I could use today in our time and in our place. That the Lord is our shepherd and that we shall not want. That he meets us in our uncertainty, our anxiety, and our fear. And somehow, this image of a shepherd gives us confidence amidst our uncertainty. It gives us hope in the midst of our fear. Jesus makes it explicit, this language of him being our good shepherd in our text today. And so we're going to turn to John chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 11 through 18. As Pastor Steve mentioned, we're continuing this series called I Am, and we're looking at the I Am statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John. And isn't it just like God in his providence? We planned this sermon series months ago, and yet I think this is such a helpful and instructive word for us here today, that the Lord is our shepherd. I want to invite you to read along with me John chapter 10, beginning in verse 11. Jesus is speaking, and this is what he says. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. When he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Think of that intimacy. Jesus is saying, just as I know the Father, and the Father knows me, so do I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I am the good shepherd. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. He's talking about the Gentiles, not a part of the Jewish community. And Jesus says, I must bring them in also. He says, my sheep, I have other sheep that are out of this pen, and I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Verse 17, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This is such a great text for us in our moment, in our time and place all around the world, to hold on to this image of Jesus as the good shepherd. Jesus says it very clearly multiple times in the text. He says, I am the good shepherd. Don't miss this. Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd. And I want to unpack three implications for us today. If Jesus is the good shepherd, number one, it means he watches over us. He watches over us. Number two, he will never abandon us, right? He will never abandon us. Jesus says the hired hand will see trouble and he'll abandon you, but not me. I'm the good shepherd. I'll never abandon you. And lastly, Jesus emphasizes this point over and over in our text. He says that the good shepherd will lay down his life for us. He lays down his life for us. Hear these things today. He watches over us. He will never abandon us. And he laid down his life for us. If you're on the Church Online platform, there's a notes section, and I've put those points there along with some links and more resources for you, and feel free to make use of that. But I want to move through each of these points together. First of all, he watches over us. He watches over us. If we back up to John chapter 10, verse 10, where Pastor Steve taught last week, the scripture tells us that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. Whereas the thief is coming to take and rob, Jesus says, I'm not the good shepherd. I've come to give life. And the way you can know I'm coming to give life, you can think of me as a good shepherd. I want you to think about that metaphor for a moment. The image of Jesus as a shepherd. Fundamentally, it means that he is watching over us. He's guarding us. He's protecting us. He's providing for us. The role of a shepherd was integral to the life of a sheep. In fact, most experts say sheep need a shepherd in order to survive. Sheep can't care for themselves. They are unable to provide for themselves or to protect themselves. They're unable to find water or find food on their own. In fact, experts tell us that sheep will actually, if they come across a patch of grass, they will stand on that patch of grass and they will eat all of the grass until it's all gone. And then their digestive systems will start working and they'll start going to the bathroom and they will poop on the grass, right? And all the kids are like, I can't believe you just said poop, but I just said poop. a couple times, right? And they'll poop on the grass. And what will happen is, instead of moving on to new grass, they will stay in that spot and eat each other's poop. And so the job of the shepherd is to get them out of their own way. He's going to lead them away from trouble, even trouble that they'll bring upon themselves. And he's going to help them move to greener pastures. The shepherd in the Middle East would, in a dry and arid environment, would have to find water. He would know where to find it, and he would take the sheep there. Sheep are prone to wander, and they're easily misled. We see this all throughout human history, all parts of the world. Sheep are always wandering away. The job of the shepherd, to bring them back in the fold. And Jesus says he will do that. He's the one shepherd, and he will gather this one flock and keep them together. He is our good shepherd, which at the basic level means he watches over us. He guards us. He protects us. He provides for us. He nurtures us. He cares for us. When we wander away, he comes after us and brings us back home. He is the good shepherd. But don't miss the other side of the metaphor, because Jesus is saying that he is the good shepherd. And so work with me here. If he is the good shepherd, what does that make us? It makes us sheep. It means that you and I are like sheep. And I assure you, of all the creatures in the animal kingdom, the last one you and I would choose to depict ourselves is a sheep. I'll show you what I mean. This is an image of a bald eagle. A bald eagle. Think of the bald eagle, right? It's this majestic, grand figure, this creature that, you know, it's beautiful. It lives long. It's majestic. Look at it, right? It's flying over the earth. And the United States of America said, you know what? This is going to be our national symbol, right? The bald eagle. We want the world to think of us like this. Or how about the Persian lion? The Persian lion. This is an image of the Persian lion. It's the official animal of Iran. And you think about that image, right? It's a fierce lion. It's the king of the jungle. And Iran is saying to the world, when you think of us this way. We're like a lion. Or how about a bear? That's the official animal of Russia, right? What is Russia communicating to the world? When you think of us like a bear, this big, powerful, imposing figure, intimidating, right? Think of them as the bear. Or how about the Bengal tiger? This is the official animal of India, right? The national animal of India. And India is saying to the world, when you think of us this way, these fierce, ferocious creatures with these terrifying teeth, right? This is how we like to think of ourselves, as lions, as tigers, as bears. But Jesus comes to us, and he looks out at us, and he says, you know what you are? You're like sheep. Here she is. This is the national symbol of the kingdom of God, a small, cute, cuddly little lamb. Jesus looks out at us and he says, you're not like a lion or a tiger or a bear. You're not a predator. In fact, you're prey. And you're not strong and capable and full of courage and ready to attack. No. You're easily panicked. You're prone to wander. You're easily misled. You are weak and you're vulnerable. You know, we like to think of ourselves, at least I know I do, as someone who is strong and capable. But if COVID-19 has taught us anything, hasn't it reminded us that we are weak and vulnerable? I mean, here's a virus that started on the other side of the globe, and yet it has brought the whole world to its knees. You and I, we are sheep. We are weak, vulnerable, fragile, easily panicked, easily afraid creatures. And so if you're here today and you feel like a sheep, you feel afraid, you feel anxious, you feel scared, you don't know what's going to happen, and you're reminded of your own weakness and your own vulnerability, let me assure you with the words of Jesus, if you feel like a sheep, he is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd, and he watches over us. He's watching over us right now. Not only does Jesus watch over us, but this image of a shepherd reminds us that he will never abandon us. He will never abandon us. Let's unpack the second point together in verse 12. Jesus says this, and he draws a contrast between the hired hand and the good shepherd. And he says the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. When he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks and the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. You know what Jesus is doing here? He's drawing a contrast. In his world, oftentimes the job of a shepherd, it was one of the most common occupations in the ancient Near East, oftentimes you would hire someone to do that job. And it was an occupation for them. They would get a paycheck. And they would go to work, and they would watch over the sheep. But if trouble came, and if you were a shepherd, it was a hard job. Oftentimes trouble would come. Sometimes it would come in the form of other people, thieves and bandits who wanted to rob your assets. But sometimes it would come in the form of other predators like a wolf. And Jesus is saying, I want you to think about this image of a wolf. I want you to think about a wolf that is ready to attack a flock, or ready to pounce. Here's what happens. The hired hand, the one who's there for the paycheck, the one who's there for the work, but doesn't really care about the sheep, isn't the owner of the sheep, isn't invested in the sheep. When the hired hand is working and the wolf comes, they're going to run away. And they're going to try and protect themselves, and they'll sacrifice the sheep so that they can be safe. But Jesus says, don't you know, I'm not a hired hand. In fact, I'm the good shepherd. I know the sheep, and they know me. And I care about the sheep, and I love the sheep, so that when the wolf comes, I'm not going to run away like everyone else. No. When harm comes, and danger comes, and trouble comes, I'm not going to run away and sacrifice the sheep for me. No. Jesus says, I'm going to stay and sacrifice myself for the sake of the sheep. Wow. I mean, isn't that amazing? When everyone else will run away, Jesus says, I'm going to stay. And not only will I risk my life, I'll give my life. He will never abandon us. He will never abandon us. Maybe you need to hear that today. Maybe you feel afraid. Maybe you need to remember you're not alone. We're not alone. He will never abandon us. The writer of Hebrews puts it beautifully. He's quoting the Old Testament, and he quotes God, and he says, don't you know the scripture? He says, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He will not abandon us. I sent my manuscript to the staff this past week, and I got feedback from everyone. And Pastor Nathan, who's our resident scholar, I call him our competitive advantage. Pastor Nathan looked at my notes, and he said, you know, in the original language in Greek, there's actually 5 negatives there in Hebrews chapter 13. Now, in English, when you use a double negative, it cancels each other out, and it means it's a positive, right? But in Greek, it's different. In fact, the more negatives you pile on, the greater the emphasis on your point. Now, let me show you what Pastor Nathan showed me this week. Here's what he said. In Hebrews 13, you could actually translate it with 5 negatives. God is really saying, I will not, never, no, not, never leave you nor forsake you. Wow. I will not, never, no, not, never leave you nor forsake you. When trouble comes, when the wolf comes, when the outsider comes, when pandemic comes, when anything comes your way, when the worst comes, know this, I will not, no, never, no, not, never leave you nor forsake you. Now, when I think about these words, that Jesus will never abandon us, that he'll never leave us, that he'll never forsake us, I think it, on the one hand, it's a great comfort to the church, right? It's a great comfort for anyone who is a part of the flock of God, right? I mean, he will never leave us. He will never abandon us. We are never alone. That's a source of great comfort in our midst. But I also think not only is it a word of comfort, I actually think it's a great challenge, right? It's a great challenge to the church because follow my logic here. If Jesus is the shepherd and we are the sheep, and the sheep's primary job is to follow the footsteps of his shepherd, if he is our example and we are to follow him, then if Jesus is saying, I will not run away when harm comes, then church, neither should we. The church of Jesus Christ should follow in his footsteps. And when trouble comes, not run away like hired hands, but demonstrate our commitment to our communities and to people in need and to the poor and the vulnerable and those who are at risk. And think about, what does faithfulness look like to the gospel in this moment? How might Jesus be calling us to actually step into harm's way? How might Jesus be calling us to even put our own self-preservation at risk for the sake of others? See, I don't know what this looks like. I don't have an answer, but I want to assure you that our church, our leadership, our staff, our elders, we are working and praying about this. We're asking God, Lord, what does it look like for us not to run away, but to actually stand in the gap and show your love to others in this time and place? We're talking to local officials, to local hospitals. We're talking about ways that we can be a part of the solution as the church. I mean, we have these buildings, we have parking lots, we've got resources. Like, look, what could we do to help? That's our posture in this crisis. Because if our good shepherd didn't abandon us, then church, we can't walk away when harm comes either. He watches over us. He will never abandon us. And lastly, and perhaps most importantly, he laid down his life for us. He laid down his life for us. Five times in these seven verses, Jesus says, I lay down my life. You want to know what makes me the good shepherd? I lay down my life for the sheep. Listen to what he says. He says, I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, right? Jesus said, I'm in control. I'm in charge. No one takes my life from me. No. But I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Think about what Jesus is saying. Two things. Number one, he's saying, I lay my life down. I have authority to lay it down. But then also he's saying, I have authority to raise it back up. Let's look at each of those in turn. Number one, he has authority to lay it down. You know, when Jesus went to the cross 2,000 years ago, he went so voluntarily. Did you know that? He went willingly. He self-sacrificed his life, gave it up as a ransom in order to protect the sheep, in order to provide life for you and for me, so that whoever believes in Jesus, whoever trusts in Jesus, whoever puts their faith in what Jesus has done will have everlasting life and experience the abundant life that Jesus was talking about in John chapter 10. He willingly did it. He didn't just risk his life. He laid down his life. Which means Jesus isn't just the good shepherd. He's the sacrificial lamb of God who lays himself on the altar as a sacrifice for your sins and for mine. This is the good news of the gospel. Don't miss it today. Don't miss the good news. There's nothing you have to do to get to God, to be a Christian. It's all about trusting in what God has done to get to you. He laid down his life for you and me. But then Jesus continues. He doesn't stop there. He says, I have authority to lay it down, but hear this, I have authority to take it up again. Right? Because the truth is, you know, we don't need a shepherd who's just going to lay his life down. If he just laid his life down, that would be good for a while, but we'd still be in trouble, right? Because if a shepherd lays down his life for the sheep and the wolf comes and attacks the shepherd and kills the shepherd, it's just a matter of time before he's done there that he moves on to the sheep. Right? Jesus provides real safety and security for us in that he conquers death. He says, I'm going to lay my life down, but don't worry, I'm going to raise it back up again. And I'm going to stand up, I'm going to rise again, and I'm going to be there to reign and to rule and to offer protection over my people in every time, in every place, right? I laid it down, I'm raising it up again. This is the hope of the resurrection. In a few weeks, we're going to be celebrating Easter. And for the first time in a long time at Shelter Rock Church, we're probably not going to be at the Tilla Center. And I got to be honest with you, I was excited to preach on that stage, okay? I was excited to preach in that room and to be with all of you on Easter Sunday. Chances are I'll be preaching to an empty room. And you'll be gathered in your homes privately. But that's okay. In fact, the early church worshiped that way, didn't they? They had this hope of the resurrection, and they gathered where they could, whether in homes or in private spaces or alone, or whether it even meant they would go into underground burial tombs and worship God there. And I love that. I love that the early church worshiped in underground burial grounds. Because think about that. Here they are facing all this intense persecution, all of the anxiety, all of the fear, all of the threat, all of the suffering coming in. It's like the walls are closing in on them. And there they are in a burial tomb where you bury the dead. And it's almost like, I like to think of the church in those moments, right? Holding on to the hope that no matter what comes our way, whether it is pandemic, whether it's epidemic, whether it's illness, whether it's Rome, whether it's suffering, whether it's imprisonment, no matter what comes our way, even if it's death, and we end up like the rest of these here in the crypt, even then, we know we have a God who knows a thing or two about resurrection. We worship a God who knows a thing or two about resurrection. He says, I have authority to lay it down, but I am the good shepherd. I will raise it up again. That gives us hope amidst our fear. Friends, I want us to hold on to this image of Jesus as a good shepherd. The early church had it. Followers of the Bible, the Hebrew Bible, for thousands of years have held on to this image of the Lord is my shepherd. I think God wants us to hold on to that image today. The Lord is my shepherd. Notice it's not the Lord was my shepherd. No. He is risen. He reigns. He rules. He conquered death. And so he is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. For though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness will follow me. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that? Wherever you are today, do you believe that? The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the truth that we can hold on to in even the most anxious moments of our lives when we are filled with fear and anxiety and uncertainty and we are weak and we are vulnerable. We thank you, God, that you came into this world in the person of Jesus and declared, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep and I have authority to raise it up again. May we turn to you, Jesus, holding on to this image of our good shepherd in this time. And may the good shepherd lead us to still waters. May you, Lord Jesus, restore our souls. We turn to you and we trust in you. In the name of Jesus, we all pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, I want to thank you for being with us for Church Online this morning and for worshiping with us through teaching. We're going to continue to worship. We've got a closing song of worship and we want to respond. So I want to invite you to stand wherever you are. Not going to know if you're doing it or not. I'm just going to trust you, take you on faith, to stand with us here as we sing to God, standing in his presence and turning our hearts and trusting in him. Let's worship as we close together.
In your grace, so relentless, I am won by perfect love, wrapped within the arms of heaven, in a peace that lasts forever, sinking deep in mercy. See, I'm wide awake, drawing close, stirred by grace, and all my heart is yours. All fear removed, I breathe you in When I'm lost, you pursue me. Lift my head to see your glory, Lord of all. So beautiful. Here in you I find shelter, captivated by the splendor of your face. My secret place, I'm wide awake, drawing close, stirred by grace, and all my heart is yours. All fear removed, I breathe you in, I lean into your love. Oh, your love. Your love so deep is washing over me. Your face is all I see. You are my everything. Jesus Christ, you are my one desire. Lord, hear my only cry to know you all my life. Your love so deep is washing over me. Your face is all I see. You are my everything. Jesus Christ, you are my one desire. Lord, hear my only cry to know you all. Stirred by grace, and all my heart is yours. All fear removed, I breathe you in, I lean into your love. Oh, your love, it's your.
Being with us today. I just want to remind you that one of the most powerful, proactive things you can do to stay healthy physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, is to memorize and meditate on Scripture. Follow our children's example this week. If you haven't memorized Psalm 23, please spend the rest of the week memorizing that. And if you have worked on that, Jerry, I've got it down. I'm going to give you another challenge. Memorize Psalm 34. Take a couple days, a little bit longer. But I love that psalm because in the midst of a difficult, challenging time in David's life, he says, I will exalt the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Because Jesus watches over us, because he will never abandon us, because he laid his life down for us and will take it up again, we have something to praise God for. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being with us.